Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany hanging out with you today. Lots to get to on this program. Of course, it is Thursday Night Football. The Miami Dolphins put their perfect record on the line in Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. The Bengals picked up their first win last week at MetLife Stadium. It was a pretty easy win for them. I caught it firsthand. Not a lot happened in that game. There were still some issues for Cincinnati running the football. We'll talk about that on the show here today. They haven't really been efficient running the rock. Mixon's had his touches. He's catching a bunch of balls out of the backfield, but they haven't been efficient running the football. And they still had some turnovers. One turnover, I do believe, last week, and then a bunch in week one. And that was a game against the Steelers where they almost won that game, but they've been a little bit sloppy. As for Miami, they've been really good, obviously, to start the season at 3-0. I do have some concerns about them heading into Cincinnati tonight, though, and we'll talk about that with Brian Cook. He's going to drop by. We're going to preview tonight's game. I have some picks and some props for you as well, and take an early look. I guess an early look. It's not really an early look. It's Thursday. Week four kicks off tonight, but I'm going to ask Brian what he thinks about a couple matchups today, who he has his eye on, and then I have some picks against the spread, some money line stuff, and over-unders. I don't have any Sunday props just yet. Tomorrow is going to be a fantasy hockey show with my guy, Eric Young. We'll talk about hockey in just a second. It's on my mind and it's exciting times, but this mostly will be a football show here today. But I will have some props on our FTN Network YouTube page. Here you're watching live. Smash the like button. You have any comments, any questions, you can always leave them there. But if you subscribe for free, you'll be able to check out the prop video coming your way tomorrow. Plus, we have Set Bet Spike with myself and Eric Young, and we'll roll through all the matchups. Recap tonight's game tomorrow, and then take a look at the rest of the games. We'll have some touchdown props and some picks against the spread and things like that. But I do have a couple that I want to share with you guys, and then a few props for this evening as well. Going to wrap up the show with some NHL talk. You know, in the final block, we'll have some NHL award stuff. Just a little early look, you know, take a look at Hart odds as well as Vezina odds. And next week, we'll really just hammer home the NHL predictions. I'll give you basically my playoff teams, the division winners, and I'm going to have some future props, some goal scorers. I know DraftKings has some like futures on points and goal scorers, over under point totals and things like that. So a lot of hockey talk next week, a little bit to round out today. But the reason I have some concerns about Miami, and I'll address this with Brian as well, is, man, they just played, what, 3-4 days ago in like 90-degree weather. It was scorching in Miami. And their defense is on the field for like 90 plays. And I don't love their secondary. They have some issues right now. They're not having a lot of success running the football. Tua is going to play in this game. Sounds like he's ready to go. Jalen Waddle sounds like he's ready to go as well. But I don't like this. The short week for them. I think Cincinnati is going to win this ball game. I think Joe Burrow and company going to have some success throwing the football on the secondary, and just that short turnaround. Their defense, man, they were on the field for a lot. So we'll ask the professional player, Brian, what he thinks about that take and who he likes for this evening as well. I mentioned hockey. Speaking of hockey, a couple things. Fantasy Hockey Draft Kit live today over at ftnfantasy.com. Rankings, projections, you see here. I got my rankings there. I got individual rankings and overall rankings, you know, sleepers, bust, breakouts, some things that we've talked already about on the show, some targets, best ball strategy, division previews, team previews, predictions for myself, Kenneth Lee, as well as Griffin Swanson. We just kind of rolled through all the division winners, you know, who's going to come out of the West, who's going to come out of the East, who's going to win the Stanley Cup, you know, asked everybody for a sleeper, a bounce back candidate, a breakout. And so a little bit of a fantasy angle and an NHL, you know, betting angle, but mostly, you know, fantasy right here. So you can use the promo code Meany, save yourself 20% off. You have access to the Discord channel. You can reach out at any time. You can always reach out to me at any time anyways, but, you know, we always have a really nice discussion in the Discord channel, not just pre-NHL season for drafts and, you know, help you guys set your keepers and things like that. But also throughout the season, I'm going to have a weekly waiver wire ranking. Going to dig deep as well. Take a look at four game streams. Take a look at the teams playing four games for the week. You know, see if we can get some advantages. You want to get the most out of your ads if you're in a weekly lineup, you know, league like that where, you know, some people display all season, you know, points league. It won't really matter to you too much. But if you're in those head-to-head formats, kind of fun, right? To go up against a bud. And, you know, have something on the side potentially, but, you know, we'll have some weekly suggestions for you in those fantasy hockey settings as well. So wanted to plug that. And also today, live on our FTN Network YouTube page at 3 Eastern, Eric Young and myself, we will take part in an underdog fantasy hockey best ball draft. So as you see there, I got my guy Cole Caulfield there and got EY's guy Kyle Connor. We'll see if either of us can get those guys, but we'll just roll through, you know, a draft. You know, if you can't draft underdog, you can hang out with us. You could see, you know, the draft kind of how it falls out really. And you know, who we both like, we'll talk targets, we'll talk busts, we'll talk stacks throughout. Yesterday, we touched on a few fantasy hockey stacks. We could revisit that, you know, on the show here today, just some of our favorite, you know, targets and strategies. And, you know, for best ball, it's just kind of draft and forget it. You know, I think you really want to leave with three goalies, unless you have like a couple elite goalies and, you know, stack up with some wingers, 3 to 4 defensemen. I don't think you need to do stacks. It's not so much like football. You know, when you get a quarterback, you certainly want to get a wide receiver or, you know, a tight end or a couple wide receivers, because when those guys go off, we've seen it multiple times. Like if you have Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, I mean, you're off to, you know, you've had some really strong weeks already. When Jalen throws 3 touchdowns and these guys are all eating, you know, you get the most out of your players. So I don't think it's necessary to do stacks, but last year I had some success, you know, rocking the Panthers, you know, like a Huberto, Barkov, a little bit later on a Bennett and Reinhardt. So you could certainly do things like that. And we'll talk about that throughout the draft here today. So if you guys want to join us, FTN Network, our YouTube page at 3 Eastern, for those that are hanging out live and on Game Plus Network, you can, you know, hang out, you can drop on over and check out that show for free. All right, I think that's enough of the hockey talk. Dale Handel's in the house. EY has to take Connor, no choice. He really does. He loves himself some Kyle Connor. So we're going to turn the page on the hockey for now. We'll round out the show with some Hart stuff and Vezina candidates. Take a look at the odds courtesy of DraftKings. I already got futures in our FTN bet tracker as well. And hopefully we can have a nice Thursday here with a few picks and some props, because we did okay yesterday on the MLB picks and props around the Diamond Show over at Game Plus Network. So a quick break. Appreciate you guys hanging out here today. Any starter sick questions, you can leave them there. Brian is in here next. We're going to tee up tonight's Thursday night football game. It's Miami and Cincy. We'll talk about it next. Hang tight. Welcome back in. Chris Meany's will bring in Brian Cook, 5_4_6, courtesy of FTN. He's rocking the FTN blue here. It's almost like you got a little bit of Miami feel going on here today, Mr. Cook. Welcome in, man. How's things?
Great, man. Just another day in paradise. You know, I get to talk football, and doesn't get too much better than that, does it, really?
You know? No. It doesn't. We love having you on Thursday. I, you know, when Wednesday happens, I get that excitement. Let's go. Thursday night football. I do believe we have a good game on tap today between the Miami Dolphins and the Cincinnati Bengals. But before we get into it, we're 3 weeks in now, heading into week 4. You know, we have 2 undefeated teams, one of them here today, the other, the Philadelphia Eagles. We have a winless squad in the Las Vegas Raiders, a must-win situation this weekend, I do believe, against the Broncos. We can take a look at the schedule in the next block, apart from tonight's game, but through 3 weeks, put you on the spot here. Any big surprises, any big takeaways that you have through 3 weeks? Is there a team that stands out that, whoa, like maybe they're not as good as I thought, or maybe they're better than I thought? Like, where's your head at here through three weeks?
Yeah. I think there's a few surprises around the league. I think the obvious one is the Vegas Raiders, right? Having a squad that is as loaded as they are, especially from an offensive standpoint, that hasn't really found the rhythm yet. And in football, you know, offense usually comes on a little bit later than defense, but it's just kind of a wonder that these guys with so many weapons have yet to put it together and have had winnable, very much winnable games too. That I think that's a bigger surprise. It's not like they're playing, you know, the best teams in the league right now. You know, they've gotten some actual opportunities to win. So that's my number one. I think some little surprises like Dallas being as efficient as they are still with Cooper Rush out there. And some of the things that they missed on defense from the offseason and how effective they've been, minus the turnovers, rather with the sacks and the pressures that they've been able to get. And I think my last little tidbit would be Jacksonville, which I want to talk about a little bit later. But it's no surprise to me that they're as good as they are, per se. Like, I thought they were going to be a good squad. I just didn't know if they were going to be leading the division at this point, right?
I don't think anybody did.
Yeah, yeah. They have weapons. Really, for them last year, they just didn't have a coach. And I think with the pieces they had last year, that they could have been a solid team. They just had no coach, no leadership. A lot of errors. Rectified the front office, rectified the staff, and here we are. You know, we have a talented young team that is looking to take that next step.
Yeah, coaching is key, man. And Doug Peterson, I've kind of said it tongue in cheek, but I believe he tied Urban Meyer, the fifth most wins as a head coach in Jacksonville. He's only played 3 weeks here. So yeah, coaching is absolutely key. And I loved the hire from Doug Peterson, right? A former quarterback in the league. And, you know, he's been around, you know, great coaches like Andy Reid. Did some great things, of course, in the Super Bowl run with Carson Wentz. And then, you know, Carson Wentz suffered that injury a couple weeks, you know, left in the season. And then Nick Foles comes in and still they didn't really miss a beat. And, you know, that's part of coaching for sure. And Peterson has Trevor Lawrence and the Jags feeling themselves. And to me, when you were talking about Jacksonville, one of the most surprising from a player standpoint is James Robinson. James Robinson, are you kidding me, man? Like, you're an athlete. You have played the game of football. Is this an outlier? Can we feel better about players now coming off Achilles injuries? Because Akers is doing his thing as well. He came back last year and he wasn't super efficient, but everyone was doubting James Robinson. And from a fantasy standpoint, he's a top five back. You know, again, from a fantasy standpoint, he's the most traded player in CBS leagues this week. So I don't know if people are not really buying and what they're seeing, but man, he looks great. He looks fresh. It's very impressive what he's doing right now, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. And before the season, when I was doing positional rankings, he was one of my top guys. I think the things that he's done is very much overlooked, and I don't see why. I mean, just because he was, you know, not one of the top guys in terms of, you know, first selections right off the board. I believe he was undrafted, if I'm not mistaken. You know, he was never one of the guys that we thought was going to be the guy. But I think his work has spoke for itself. And then you add that in the fact that, like I said, Doug Peterson comes in, great experience, has a Super Bowl under him, and he knows what he's doing. He's going to put them in the best positions to succeed. In terms of the injuries, just like the ACL, right, that people thought, you know, 15 years ago that was it for your career. Now it's like, hey, those injuries are – rehabable, and you usually come back stronger. I think the Achilles injury is no exception. It'll be like that as we move forward.
Before we move on to tonight, and Tyler chimes in here, Akers, Foreman, Mac. Yeah, they've been struggling for sure. Foreman had, you know, he had a really nice season last year, I thought, you know, filling in for Derrick Henry as well. And then Cam Akers, I'm not ready to say he stinks. He's had some moments. He looks pretty good. I know last year went up against some tough run defenses. I'll say that. But you know, he's had some moments. I really liked what I saw from him 2 weeks ago. You know, running the rock, catching the rock. He's moving the ball up the field as well. We'll get to some start and sit questions in a little bit for those that are hanging out with us. Before we really get into tonight, you mentioned something that I want to touch on as well. Again, I will reference that you are, you know, a former professional player. You've seen different coaching schemes and different coaches coming in and personnel changing and things like that. And you touched on the Raiders, and you're right. The Raiders are loaded offensively. I mean, Davante Adams is clearly frustrated. He leaves a Green Bay team that has always made the playoffs, and he goes to the Raiders and they're 0-3. He's with his old college buddy, and they've had some moments. I believe he has a touchdown in every single game. Waller's had some bad drops. Hunter Renfro's had some issues, didn't play last week. It is a new system in place with Josh McDaniels. And is this just, okay, it's been 3 weeks. Is that it? Is it that easy to say that it's a new coach and it's a new quarterback and, you know, new weapons in this offense? It's going to take some time. Or is this like, are we talking about the Raiders getting involved with another quarterback next year? We might as well bring it up now. I know it's only 3 weeks in, but you know, what I've seen from Carr at times, but yeah. I don't know if he's the answer.
He's got, I believe they gave him an extension. Did they not?
They did.
They gave him an extension. So, I don't think that it's one of those things like we got to get a new quarterback. I think at this point with what they have, I think that would almost be doing them a disservice to grab another quarterback next year. I think that they just need to tread with what they have and just find more efficient ways to get all those players involved. They just have so many guys I don't think they're utilizing Josh Jacobs enough. And I know they weren't very high on him. That's why they didn't give him the fifth year last year. But, like, he's really, really good. They need to – and this it's uncharacteristic to an extent that a Josh McDaniels offense doesn't lean on the run.
Right.
But they need to lean on the run. That's what's going to help them dictate games. You know, I'm one of the bigger proponents of 12 and 13 personnel. Let me get two tight ends in the back. Let me get three tight ends in the back. Let me get, you know, two tight ends, two backs. Like, I like that because it establishes, hey, we know we're running the ball, and we're just going to see how much tougher we are than some of these guys. We're not going to get too cute. We're not going to get too pretty. We're going to pound the ball. Once we pound the ball, we're going to open up the pass game because they're going to have to come to the box, you know? So I'm not a coach, but I do believe that Josh Jacobs, Zamir White, those guys, they need to be utilized more. They just need to. And I know you got weapons on the outside, but they'll get open. Just continue to pound the rock.
I feel like we said that last week, right? We'd like to see Jacobs get a few more touches. I thought they played a little conservative in the second half in week 2 against Zona, but I would have liked to see a little bit more Josh Jacobs for the first 3 weeks of the season. I agree. I think he's a really good back. You know, whether he's a Raider next year or not remains to be seen. But yeah, they need to figure it out this week against the Broncos. That's for sure. I mean, we can even touch on Denver next block and see what you think about that offense right now, but they do have a couple wins at least tonight. Let's get into tonight. So the line hasn't changed too much. We got the Bengals here at 3.5-point favorites. You know, looking from now and or from Monday to now, we have seen the total jump up a little bit at 46.5. I still like the 48.5, like to the over. I think we'll see some offense here. I want to just let you go first. I have some takes as well. Like, how do you see this playing out? And also, I want to hear you talk about the Dolphins at 3-0. Do you think that this is, I mean, this is also a new head coach and Mike McGannell coming over here. A great start for his coaching career. Beat Bill Belichick week 1, beat Harbaugh week 2, beat the Super Bowl favorites in the Buffalo Bills in week 3. And here they are in a short week with some, you know, some question marks. Waddle and Tua look like they're good to go. But is this team legit in your mind? And how do you like them tonight on the road in Cincy?
Yeah, I think that this team definitely is legitimate. And the reason being is because, to me, they shade a lot of like what the Kansas City Chiefs had when they had Tyreek and whatnot. Not in terms of the offensive style, because they run vastly different styles of offense. But in terms of the weapons and in terms of the efficiency at which they pass the ball and move the ball, the one thing that Kansas City never really had to an extent when they were making their runs was they never really had a dominant defense, but it dominated at certain points of the game. And I think that Miami, while they're not a dominant defense, because their offense is so good, it puts the other team's offense in a difficult position. So in turn, the defense can capitalize on that. They still have some of the better corners in the league. It is in Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. Right. Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they have, you know, two of the better corners in the league. They have Javon Holland playing safety. I mean, they've got great back end players. And then the front seven is good enough to make an impact. I wouldn't say it's one of the best, but it's good enough to make an impact. So in terms of that, I think that Miami is legitimate. And in terms of tonight, man, just a couple things I'll rattle off that I found some data on was the sack yards for Cincinnati. They have 87. That's the third highest right now in the league. So you would think that all the additions to the line that they made would rectify some of their issues. But to add to that, they have 15 sacks on the year, and they're on pace to even break what they had last year. They were third in the league, third highest amount of sacks at 55. So that's kind of alarming to me. And then you throw in the fact that all their touchdowns have been passing touchdowns, and they have no rushing ones. So something's going on in that front, you know, that offensive line there. They're going to have to figure it out. If there's a time to figure it out, it's now. Because, like I said, Miami's front seven aren't always the greatest. But, you know, they can't fall behind. You know, they can't fall behind the chains this week. They have to stay on pace and figure it out. So that's going to be interesting to see how they do this week with their offensive line.
Yeah, neither team has had any success really running the rock at all. We got Cincy here at 3.3. yards per carry, and we have Miami at 3.3 yards per carry. The only team worse than those two teams, the Chargers at 2.6 yards per carry. So not really having a lot of success so far running the rock. It doesn't seem like Miami's really even trying. We haven't had too many games where Chase Edmonds had a lot of carries and, you know, Raheem Mostert there. I want to ask you about last week because, I mean, they played in Miami. It was extremely hot there, like 90 degrees plus, short week. Their defense was on the field for 90 plays. Like Buffalo ran 90 plays of offense. And now for a Miami team that ranks 28th in pass DVOA, according to Football Outsiders, that seems to be their hole right now. I like what you said. Like they definitely have some pieces in the secondary. They have some guys. I don't know how fully healthy they are at the moment. But in terms of like, is this team a Super Bowl contender? Can they make the playoffs? I think they do have the pieces in the secondary, but right now I think they need to kind of figure that out. What do you think about the short turnaround playing in that heat, defense being on the field quite a bit? Like that's why I feel like I have to give Cincinnati an advantage here with Joe Burrow and company and some of the weapons that he has. I think that that's one of the highlights that I have for this game is one of the big takeaways. And I think it's going to be certainly a key for Miami to try to slow down Joe Burrow through the year.
Absolutely. And I think that the difference between when you're comparing how these defenses play, right, in terms of how Miami played against Buffalo and then what they're going to have to do against Cincinnati, one of the biggest things was Buffalo's offense is so good. It makes it really hard for the defense to get off the field. And I don't think they capitalized as much as they needed to at times to get off the field on third down, you know, create a turnover so you can get that extra break for and get your offense out there. Or, you know, third and long, like you gotta get that stop. Right. Third and short. We get somebody's got to make a play. That's huge. Right. And Buffalo is one of the most efficient offenses. Doesn't really surprise me that they struggled with that. But Cincinnati is a little bit different because, yes, they do have all the weapons that they need to be successful. However, like I said, there is some issues with that line still that they're not, whether it's miscommunication or people just, you know, playing subpar. Something's got to be changed there. And I think that they have a unique opportunity to get off the field this week just because of the pressure. I'm sure they're going to dial up some blitzes, make Joe Burrow a little bit uncomfortable, and make him try to get the ball out quick. So see if they can try to put them in situations where they can get off the field, right, and then get the ball back to Tua and those guys and let them do what they do.
A lot of really good weapons in this game, right? I mean, yeah. Chase and Higgins and Tyreek and Waddle. Who do you think has the star performance today?
Oh, man, that's
maybe all four.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be one of those games where the offense will be plentiful. The defense, as surprising as it is, I think that Cincinnati's defense will play a little bit better than Miami's. But that being said, I don't know how much I can really bank on that because they're both going to score a ton of points, in my opinion. Yeah. I just don't see how they don't. It's going to be an interesting one. I think all the stars are going to align for those guys tonight in terms of Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd. I think he could have another big game. Just because, like I said, they're going to be getting the ball out quick in the slot. That's usually like the hot area when you get the ball out. We're trying to get the ball out in between the hashes. That's where the blitz usually comes from. So I could see him having a bigger game. And then on the other side, I could see, of course, Waddle and Tyreek Hill having, you know, their normal 150 yards between, you know, so it'll be interesting to watch.
You bring up Boyd and we'll wrap up here in a second. We can get back into it in just a minute, but I have seen some slot wideouts. Well, in particular, I guess last week with Isaiah McKenzie, they struggled in the slot. There was 7 grabs and 76 yards for Isaiah McKenzie. You know, Bateman not really playing in the slot, but kind of torched them as well. So Boyd could be that sneaky little guy where everyone is looking at props for Higgins and looking at props for Chase, where Boyd may be that, you know, especially inside the red zone or something like that, he could be that sneaky little touchdown call. You've been spot on with, you know, calling games here and basically just laying out the game script and how it's going to go, people. Last week, we said it, like kind of Cleveland, they roll with Chubb. And we talked about Njoku again and Amari having a big day, Deontay having a big day. Like we were almost perfect between us on this show. So now we have to try to back it up here again. Who do you like tonight? What do you got?
I got to go with Miami. The reason is Cincinnati is coming off of a win, a, One where they pretty much, I would say, had that game in handle with the Jets. So they got a little bit of confidence. But with that being said, I just don't see how what the inefficiencies they have from an offensive line standpoint. And then you throw in the fact that Miami's playing at such a high level. I just, like I said, it mirrors the Chiefs for me. It's like, hey, you got to go out and score, which Cincinnati can do. But at times they are going to give that ball up because they're just not going to be able to handle the pressure. And I expect to see a lot of pressure tonight on Joe Burrow. And I really think that there's just no way that secondary from Cincinnati is going to be able to contain all that speed. That's one of their weaker points. That's been one of their weaker points the last year or two. So we'll see if they can find a way, you know, create a turnover or two.
Yeah, and I mean, since he's been certainly turning the ball over, man, like, they've needed to address this offensive line for a couple of years. I liked the moves that they made in the offseason. But like you said, maybe it's just time to – it just takes a little bit of time, I guess, to find the, you know, the chemistry or guys not playing to the level that they should be playing at. We'll see. But they really need to protect Joe Burrow. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But we'll take a quick break, Brian. Hang tight, and we'll take a look at some other matchups for week four. Stay tuned. Chris, me and Brian Cook here with you of FTN Data 5_4_6 on the Twitter machine. Professional football player in the house as we just kind of previewed Cincy in Miami. I'm on the other side. I think Miami can hang tight, but I feel like Cincy finds a way to win this game. We'll see. I think it should be a shootout, though. I believe we'll see some points scored. How could we not see some points scored, as you mentioned, with just those four stud wide receivers? I would like to see – actually, you know, honestly, I would love to see both quarterbacks air it out and all those wide receivers eat. But I would like, honestly, to see these teams have more of a balanced attack. So that's something I'll be looking for, just to see if we can get a little bit more from Chase Edmonds. Maybe most start running the football in this short week, playing in that game that we mentioned with all that heat. And then on the Cincinnati side of things, I mean, this is a team that is inside the top 10 in rushing attempts, but, you know, in the bottom 10, and just gave you the numbers earlier, 3.3 yards per attempt. Not super great. Any concerns about Joe Mixon? He'll be fine. But again, it's just mostly, again, the offensive line is kind of like hammering home.
Yeah, that needs to get
in sync before he gets going.
Absolutely. I'm not going to get too over concerned about Joe Mixon. I think that he always figures it out. He's such a good back. I mean, he's a true three down back. So if he's not involved in the run game, I'm sure they'll find a way to get involved in the pass game. My thing with him is if there's a week that he's going to get it going, it'll probably be this week because, I mean, let's be honest, neither of those teams are very great against the run. Miami especially is really not that great against the run. So, you know, I could see them trying to establish a run game early. Both teams probably will try to establish somewhat of a run game. Just because, I mean, this is the time to do it. That's if you're looking at tendencies, boom, you found it, right? That's it. That's what they're not good at. So let's try to take advantage of it, you know?
Absolutely. You've been charting some data for us. I want to show you this air yard percentage leaders from FTN Fantasy, FTNDaily.com. Free tool to check out. Yesterday, I just looked at overall air yard leaders, and Chris Olave was up at the top. He's not even on this list, but he was well and above absolutely everybody. The gap between one and two was significant. I think it was like 200 yards or so. Amari Cooper, 53% of his team's air yards, number one. AJ Brown's here. Cooper Kupp. Cortland Sutton, CeeDee Lamb, a lot of targets, whether it's been Dak for, you know, a handful of quarters or Cooper Rush, as you mentioned. And I don't believe there's a quarterback controversy. Let's relax, people. But CeeDee Lamb's there at 45%. Hollywood Brown at 43%. Jalen Waddle playing the game today at 42%. Andrews, Adams, and Lockett. Any names here that are surprising to you at all? Does anything jump off the page? Do you think Hollywood takes a massive hit when Hopkins comes down, or is this a guy that you still would tell people to hold in fantasy leagues?
No, I definitely think that I would hold on to Marquise Brown. It's kind of interesting because while he was okay in Baltimore, you're seeing a kind of a more evolved Marquise Brown right now, which is kind of what Baltimore wanted when they drafted. Yeah. They said, hey, this is supposed to be, you know, the guy. He's supposed to be our number one guy, you know, and then Bateman came in and, you know, there were some questions to be answered. So you're starting to see that now. Kyler Murray's getting him the ball. I would hold on to him because D-Hop will come back, but I'm sure it's going to take him just a little bit to get back acclimated. I mean, suspension's a suspension. So And then I think the other one that would stand out to me to an extent, but it really doesn't, would be Mark Andrews, just because he's one of the, he's the only tight end on the list, if I'm not mistaken. But that's what happens when you don't have the strongest receiving core. Not to take anything away from Duvernay or Bateman or any of those guys, but they still have a lot to prove in this league in terms of the number one guy, you know what I mean, or the number one and two punch. So Mark Andrews for sure jumps out to me as being the only tight end there. But, I mean, he's, in my opinion, he might be the best tight end in the game right now. I love Travis Kelce, but Mark Andrews is just playing so well.
He really is, and he's coming off a monster game. And I wouldn't be shocked to see him outside of that top 10, right? I mean, Bateman is nice, but I think you said it perfectly with Duvernay. They're lacking weapons outside of Andrews and Bateman through the air when Baltimore gets into these shootouts, and we'll see what they can do with the Bills this weekend. We can transition to that. This is the rest of the week here. We've got some lines and some matchups for week four, of course, led up at the top with the Bengals there. What we got, the early London game in brackets. Thank you, George. Yeah, for people that are, you know, getting their lineup set early, you might want to do that Saturday night, especially if you're having a couple bats late on a Saturday night. That game comes at you early on Sunday. We got a couple, like, I don't want to say stinkers, but maybe like low scoring offensive games here. You know, the Bears and the Giants, the Jets and the Steelers. We're going to see Zach Wilson make his 2022 debut this week. We got the Browns and the Falcons in there as well. And certainly some interesting matchups. You know, Chiefs and Bucks is a good one. Rams and 49ers, absolutely a good one. Mentioned earlier, the Raiders in a must-win situation against the Broncos, and Russell Wilson in that offense not looking too hot to start the season. But if they can get a W here this weekend in Las Vegas, I think they have to feel pretty good about their start overall. Talk to me about a matchup here that you're looking for.
Yeah, two huge ones I like. I'll start with Kansas City and Tampa Bay. That's an obvious one. There seems to be a little bit of fire between Mahomes and Bieniemy. But with that being said, I was a player. I understand. Sometimes it gets heated, man, especially when you're losing. It's tough. You know, you don't agree with something. The coach thinks this is the way we should do it. And these are grown men getting paid millions of dollars. They're going to fight. Right. With that being said, don't see that being an issue moving forward, but would love to see how Kansas City responds, as well as Tampa Bay, with the lack of weapons. I think Mike Evans will be back, so Tom Brady will have his favorite guy back, but just want to see kind of how things continue to evolve for Tampa Bay. I mean, this looks like a different Tom Brady right now, not the same Tom Brady we've seen. Still good, but not the great Tom Brady that we've seen, right? The GOAT. So I want to see what happens here. That'll be an interesting one. And, you know, Tampa Bay, with the hurricane going on, they're going to have it at Raymond James Stadium. We don't know what's going to happen. How are the weather? How's the weather going to affect that? How's it going to affect that game? So that'll be an interesting one for me. And then the next one, which I don't know if it'll come as a surprise to you or not, but Jacksonville at Philly. I mean, is Jacksonville for real? Are they legitimate, right? And then this hot Philly team with Jalen Hurts playing on an unreal level. He's got his weapons. The defense is one of the best defenses. I mean, from the offseason, I've said that their acquisitions, to me, on paper, make them the best defense in the league. And all they got to do is just play to their potential. So you're going against a great defense at all levels of the game, right? Secondary, linebackers, defensive line, and then you're going against those offensive weapons, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Goddard, you know, Miles Sanders is playing well, Gainwell is doing his thing. That line is probably the best line in football right now, arguably top three, if not. And then Jacksonville, a hot team with weapons as well, and just a young team that's looking to sustain something with a great coach. So it's going to be great, man. That's going to be a really good game. I could see it being like, I wouldn't say a shootout per se, but one of those games, like you could see whoever gets to 28 points or so first is going to be the winner. And it's going to be one of those games where you just want to see if these young guys can find something to hold on to it. And on the other end, you want to see if Philadelphia has finally figured everything out that they needed to.
Talk to me, Eagles, right? They're playing pretty good, man. Certainly on both sides of the football, they are. I don't know if what Jalen is doing is sustainable, but certainly the schedule is very favorable. So, I mean, he's in a really good spot to continue to rack up some yards and get some touchdowns. But what I've noticed from him, we have to get out of here, dude. But what I noticed from him is that he is, there's been no hesitancy at all in his decision-making, where last year where's that first read? If it's not there, I'll tuck and run. He's been throwing it out. There's been some questions about his deep ball. His deep ball has been on point. He really looks like a confident quarterback right now playing behind a really good offensive line. And that will be a true test, I think, for Jacksonville and for Philly too, right? Like even at home with Doug Peterson and company coming back, I know they're 6.5-point favorites, but I think I think the game will actually be a shootout. And I do believe that Jacksonville will hang. I think Jacksonville will hang with them for sure. I could talk to you all day about football, dude. And I can't wait till next Thursday. What it looked like for me with the Chiefs is that they were definitely missing Tyreek Hill in that game. I'm waiting for that one wide receiver to step up, right? Yeah. Like Kelsey's going to do his thing. MVS is on the field playing more snaps, running more routes, not doing a whole lot. Juju had a moment in week one. Sky Moore is just a rookie. You know, he hasn't really been able to get on the field. So I there's definitely been, you know, some back and forth with like play calling and Mahomes and company, but it was just a couple weeks in, but that was the first moment I felt like Mahomes missed Tyreek Hill in that game against the Colts. But we'll see how they bounce back this week and what should be an interesting game. Appreciate the time, Brian. I appreciate it, man. Check him out on Twitter right there. 5_4_6. Doing some great stuff for us over at FTN Data. Enjoy the football tonight and this weekend, and we will touch base with you next week, sir. We're going to dive back into the Thursday night football props. I got some picks against the spread, and we'll answer some of these questions as well. Hang tight. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in. I got a couple Thursday night props here for you. Going to start with Joe Burrow is my favorite prop for tonight's game. I'm going to take the over 268.5 passing yards. This is over at FanDuel at -110. Make sure you use our prop shop over at ftmbets.com. Save yourself a lot of time and a lot of cash so you can get those best possible odds. So for Joe Burrow, he's eclipsed this number in two of the three games this season. The one game he didn't, a tough run defense, or just a tough defense in general, really. The Dallas Cowboys are legit. They can get a lot of pressure off the quarterback. I do have some concerns about this offense. Offensive line, there's no question, but I do think that they're in a pretty good spot against Miami. They're 28th in pass DVOA, according to Football Outsiders. They just played a couple of days ago in blistering heat, 90 plays of offense the Bills ran, so I think that defense on a short week is coming in shorthanded. And then for Joe Burrow, eclipsing this number in 2 of 3 is great this season, but it's something that he did in 9 of his last 13 regular season games last year and did it pretty easily in some games. He had 5 300-yard games. He had a game with over 400 as well. And just looking at these two teams, Cincinnati, it seems like they want to run the rock with Joe Mixon. They've had a lot of rushing attempts, but 3.3 yards per carry. Only the Los Angeles Chargers have a lower number than that. I know it's a short week. Sometimes we see these running backs get a few more carries than normal, but Miami has been pretty decent against the run so far this season against running backs. They've allowed the third fewest rushing yards to running backs so far this season at 56. So again, pretty good spot, I do believe, for Joe Burrow and company to eclipse this number again, 268.5 passing yards. And a couple more props that I have inside this game, I do believe that they correlate because I'm taking some of the Cincy weapons here. So Jamar Chase over 73.5 receiving yards, T. Higgins at 63.5 receiving yards. I like T. Higgins at over 4.5 grabs. It is juiced. I saw -145. I can get behind that as well if you're doing a little bit of a same game parlay. I'd have those two in there. I think this will be a Tyreek Hill day. I have the over 5.5 grabs at -135. I do believe that's our free bet of the day as well over at ftmbets.com. And then Chase Edmonds here at over 10.5 receiving yards. He hasn't had a lot of games where, you know, he's running the rock. In fact, both Cincinnati, Miami, 3.3 yards per attempt. And for Cincy, only allowing 3.7 yards per attempt to, you know, running backs and, you know, random opposing quarterbacks in there as well. But this is a team that is good against the run. And then I have a team in Miami here that really isn't trying to run the ball, and they haven't had a lot of success running the ball. So I feel like Cincy will be able to throw on Miami, rack up some points. We could get a catch or two from Chase. So far, he's got 8 targets, 6 grabs, and 54 receiving yards through 3 games. A lot of that came in the first game, but he does have a grab in each of his 3 games. And then Joe Burrow, he's got 73 rushing yards on the season. He didn't get to this number last week against the Jets, but really it was a blowout win. I didn't think he had to run, and they, you know, took Joe Mixon off the field, and they rolled with Pirine, right? It was a, it wasn't a competitive game. I do believe this one will be competitive. I like the Bengals to win, and I like the over 48.5. I had the over 46 a couple days ago. I'd go as high as 49.5. I think we could see this number get up into the low 50s. It should be a really, really fun game. We're going to say goodbye to tonight's game. Good luck with all your picks and all your props. A whole lot more over at ftmbets.com. You can use that promo code MEANIE. Save yourself a little bit of cash. We will break right now and then take a look at some other picks that I like for Sunday. Some picks against the spread, some money line stuff, and over unders as well. So keep her locked. More football talk here on Mean Streets. My guy, Am the Artist in the house, big hockey fan. I didn't see until earlier. No NHL, Meanie. I know it's preseason, but come on, throw me a bone. We will have the live fantasy hockey draft courtesy of Underdog Fantasy coming your way right here on our FTN Network YouTube page at 3 Eastern. If you wanted to take part in that draft, you certainly can. We'll make sure that we're all kind of together as a group, as a family. I have a link already live on our FTN Network YouTube page and a link to get into that draft, but you want to make sure you're ready to go around 3 Eastern. We have some a little bit of hockey talk to round out the show in the final block here, but lots of fantasy hockey talk over the next little bit. I think if you're looking for a preseason bet, maybe the Jets plus money against La Bleu Blanc Rouge, the Canadiens here tonight. So I would take Winnipeg. I don't even know who's playing, man. Preseason action, I don't think you want to put too much on an AM the Artist, but I do respect you hanging out and asking people to smash the like button. Daily Handle doing it as well. You guys are all studs, and it's a nice community, and hopefully we can give you some winners here to win a little bit of cash. This is what I'm thinking for Sunday. Actually, like a couple, you know, spreads picks, but I've just been sticking to a routine. 3 spreads, 3 money line, 3 over under. I think Buffalo takes care of Baltimore. I think they bounce back here. 3-point favorites. I'm willing to just take them on the money line, minus 150 as well if you don't want to get involved with this 3. You know, it's a lot of points here at Green Bay, and New England's turned into Brian Hoyer, but I have just been saying this for weeks. I'm not a believer in New England. I don't feel great about their offense and the play calling. It wasn't totally on Mac Jones. I just think that this team has a lot of issues offensively. I don't know how they're going to be able to score much in this game at Lambeau against the Packers. And the Packers kind of got right offensively last week with Dubs catching a few passes. Lazard is healthy. Both backs, I do believe AJ Dillon will play in this game. And I think, you know, the defense will just be too much. You know, it's a lot of points, but I'm in on that 9.5. I also like Tennessee to cover at 3.5, but I decided to roll with the Texans here at +5.5 at home against the Chargers. I expect the Chargers to, you know, have a much better effort. They got spanked last week at home against the Jags. Hey, maybe the Jags are just really good, but the Chargers just have so many injuries happening at the moment. There's just way too many injuries with this team. It's like, again, I don't understand. I've my whole life watching this Chargers team. Early, it was just, yeah, they'd win 12, 13 games, get to the playoffs, you know, play in a cold weather city and then lose, you know, basically to Brady. Rivers and company would lose to Brady. And then the past few years, it's been kicker issues, defense issues, injuries for sure. There's just been way too many injuries with this team. I don't get it. And they're already going through it again. Crazy bad luck with the Chargers. So give me the Texans +5.5 to cover at home. Dallas money line against Washington. I also like the 3 for the boys. Las Vegas, I think they find a way to win and get their first W against the Broncos. It's not like Russell Wilson has looked that great. So I think there'll be a little bit more desperation for the Raiders to get this win. They can't go 0-4. The Rams plus money against the Niners. I know that Shanahan has kind of owned the Niners over the past few years, but Sean McVay got off ended that streak last year, right? When it mattered into the playoffs. I do think there's some concerns with both teams offensively, but I like the Rams here, and Cooper Kupp will be the difference, of course. Not a lot happening between the Jets and the Steelers this weekend, and I don't think there'll be a lot happening between the Bears and the Giants either. So those are low numbers, but I'm going to take the under on both of those, and I think we'll see a shootout between the Jags and the Eagles at the link. Doug Peterson returning to Philadelphia, where he won a Super Bowl. 46 is the total. I would take anything higher than 48.5. One more break and some hockey talk for Am the Artist. Hang tight. I really like giving the Sunday picks on Friday because I really would like to see those practice reports, but I'm going to have another video on our FTN Network YouTube page giving some props for the weekend. And if anything changes, I will address it in that video, but I'm hammering home those picks. And those are the ones that I certainly like. Some NHL talk to round out the show, Am the Artist, for you. You're going to take a look at Vezina odds here. Tomorrow we'll take a look at Hart and things like that. So no surprise to see Igor Shesterkin up at the top at plus 250. You know, you could have really made a case for him to win the Hart Trophy last year. Vasilevskiy at 5-1, UC Soros at 10-1, Ilya Sorokin at 10-1, and then Jacob Markstrom at 15-1. I think that's my favorite pick here on the board. I am going down the Flames road again. That's right. George's Flames. I actually think their team is better this year. I know they lost Tkachuk and they lost Johnny Hockey, but they're deeper down the middle with Nazem Kadri as their second center. You got Backlund, who played as a second center for most of the season last year. He goes to the third line and just deeper down the middle, which is more important, in my opinion, for a team to make a deep run. Plus, they got Mackenzie Weegar. Huberto is a player. Andrew Mangiapane is going to break out here this season. A league-high 9 shutouts for Markstrom last year, a solid 0.922 save percentage, a 2.22 goals against average, 37 Ws. He had such a good season last year, but Shesterkin was just over the top, unbelievable. They had to give it to him. I don't think they go back-to-back. We haven't seen a goalie win back-to-back Vezina Trophy since Martin Brodeur a long time ago. So give me Markstrom at 15-1. I think if you're looking for other flyers, Frederik Andersen at 20-1 was on top of his game before he suffered an injury closer to the end of the season. And of course, he wasn't with the Canes in the playoffs. I think 30-1 for Marc-Andre Fleury going to Minnesota is a good long shot as well. They had allowed the second fewest high danger chances. Don't look at his numbers with the Blackhawks. It's a new start for him. I know he's a little bit older, but he's going to be on a sound defensive squad with the Minnesota Wild. But give me Markstrom and the Flames. I think they have another big season. Enjoy the football game tonight. We'll touch on a whole lot more football and hockey talk tomorrow. Have a good one. Cheers.